Do you know that from your position, you can change a situation? Do you also know that you are the master over the created world and that you are meant to rule over everything God has made? Listen carefully to Pastor Segun Obaje as he brings to you with simplicity and clarity the message of the new creation realities in Christ Jesus. Be blessed as you listen.
Father, we pray that your word will come with power and grace and glory and cause a transformation in our lives. Your word will come with instructions, wisdom, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We seize the atmosphere right now. We command the power of God over the atmosphere and in the atmosphere in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We rebuke you, foul spirits. You have no part nor portion in the word of God, in the word of God, ministry of the word of God. And we declare the ministry of angels right now invading the atmosphere in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. We give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise. Say, this is your day. Today is your day. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Turning your Bibles very quickly to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We'll start the reading from verse 26. We'll read into verse 28. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And verse 28, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Glory to God. This month is a special one for us. It is our month of fruitfulness. Can I hear you say fruitfulness? Yes. All right. It's our month of fruitfulness, and God is up to something big, something great with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 28 of the scripture we just read. It says, and God blessed them. God didn't curse them. Now listen very carefully. The curse is not God's plan and intent for man. The blessing was God's original plan for man. The curse is actually the effect of disobedience. The blessing is actually the cause of obedience. Praise God. Did you see it? Ever before man fell, ever before man disobeyed God, all right, God had blessed man. Did you see that? Okay, so the curse is not original, all right? It is the blessing that is original. Glory to God. The blessing originated from God and with God. The blessing came through his word, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion. Glory to God. God blessed them. God blessed them. Come on, say, I am blessed. I can't hear you. Say, I am blessed. Now, if God has blessed you, all right, then you have to say it to yourself. You have to attest to it and affirm to the truth and the fact that you are blessed. Say it with your mouth. Say, I am blessed. Oh, I can't hear you. Say, I am blessed. Come on, say it. Say, I am blessed. All right, so you are blessed in Christ. Amen. Man fell, and then Jesus came to reinstate man back to the estate of glory. Glory. Amen. He came to bring us to glory. The Bible tells us that the thief comes to kill, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he says, I am come that you may have life, and have it how? More abundantly. So life has come to us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that life is abundant life. It is the life of the blessing. Abundant life. Come on, say abundant life. All right. Abundant life means the overflowing life. All right, overflowing life in joy, overflowing life in prosperity, overflowing life in fellowship with God, overflowing life in wisdom, overflowing life in everything that is of the divine life, of the God kind of life. Glory to God. That's what Jesus has brought to us. Amen. Abundant life. Not eating sparsely, not living from hand to mouth, not scratching the bottom of the barrel. That's not the life he brought to you. Amen. He brought the life of prosperity to us. Glory to God. That is your portion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in educating God's precious people concerning the blessing, I've discovered that one of the areas every teacher or preacher of God's word must really spend time about or on is the area of educating the mind of God's people as to the will of God for them to prosper. You know, the how, all right, you can teach that in hours. But renewing the mind to believe that prosperity is God's will for me and know it quite well, you can spend years on it. Because somehow out there in the atmosphere, out there in the world, you see people, you know, come up with all kinds of philosophies, all kinds of ideologies. They believe different kinds of things, believe lies inconsistent with the Word of God. That a Christian is meant to be poor, to reveal the humility of God. All right? That people shouldn't have too much so that they don't backslide or go back into the world. All right, all kinds of strange ideas. But you see, the Bible tells us that our Lord Jesus Christ was never poor. Amen? Until he took our place. Now, understand this. You know, I will show you from God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. I want you to see this. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich..." When was he rich? All right? Between birth and when Jesus Christ took our place as our substitute, he was rich. All right, notice what it says. It says, though he was rich, Jesus was rich. And it was speaking regarding material wealth here. All right, it's not talking about spiritual riches or spiritual wealth. All right, as in meekness, anointing, all right, the glory of God. No, it was talking about material blessings in context. So it tells us, for though he was rich, yet for our sakes, he became poor. So when did Jesus become poor? He didn't say, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was poor," all right, "and for his own sake, he took your own riches so that he could be rich." No. He says, "He was rich, but for our sakes." Did you see that? So Jesus had always been rich. There was no lack. All right, he had 12 family men working for him, his disciples, and they were on salary. They were on his payroll. Glory to God. Amen. And there was one amongst them that was a thief, a professional thief at that, and was stealing the money from the purse regularly, consistently, yet there was no financial crisis. Amen. You see, it is easier for us to teach about the how of prosperity after you have understood and known that it is God's will for you to prosper. Now, if we teach you the how, all right, you're applying it, it's coming from unbelief. The guy still believes that this thing may not work, but he said we should do it that way. All right, so we are doing it the way they said we should do it. Amen. All right, see, listen, the moment there is a resolution, all right, an affirmation, a concrete conviction within you as to God's will for you to prosper, all right, you are 95% made already in the realm of prosperity. That's the truth. A lot of God's children wake up in the morning, go to work, come back late at night, and they do that again and again and again round the clock. But the mindset is, we're just doing it. We hope it works. We hope it produces results. But you see, it's not going to work that way because it's not coming from a conviction. Are you convinced that you're blessed? That's the first thing. Are you convinced that come what may, your lot is maintained? Are you convinced that even if the heavens collapse upon the earth and the earth quakes under the feet of men, your lot is maintained? Are you convinced that even the mountains, they move from their foundation and the waters, the seas begin to roar? Oh, your lot is maintained. Are you convinced? You have to be convinced. And the moment that conviction is settled, all right, the way to prosper, the method of prosperity, all right, produces results. Awesome results in your life. So conviction, that's the first thing. Glory to God. All right. Now, God blessed them. God blessed them. Even in the fall, after the fall of man, God never cursed Adam. You know, read the Bible. He never placed the curse on Adam directly. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says God cursed the earth for man's sake. He didn't say cursed be man, all right, and the earth for man's sake. He cursed the earth for man's sake. In other words, God couldn't even place a curse on Adam. So you see, all this idea of people, you know, I'm cursed somewhere, you know, somebody is, you know, pursuing me, you know, something is flying over my head, all those things, you know, until your theology can accommodate the blessing absolutely, all right, you keep breaking curses for forever. You know, those curses never end. There will be another meeting, you'll break curses. There'll be another meeting, you'll break curses. And they keep breaking curses. It will not end. All right? When it's December crossover service, they will break curses, all right, into January. There will now be a special meeting in January again, the following year. And they will break curses and break curses and all that. When will they stop breaking curses? All right? The theology of curses is not God's theology. Amen? Praise God. It was a consequence of a thing that man did. Rebellion. All right? It wasn't part of the original deal, the package. Amen. Today, I want to share with you on faith in the blessing. You have to believe in the blessing. Faith, having absolute faith in the blessing. That's what I want to share. You know, because you're just talking about how the blessing works and all that, and people have not really reposed faith in the blessing. They're just working something they are not convinced about. They are not yet convinced that that thing is going to work for them. Praise God. So faith in the blessing. All right? Faith in the blessing. Now go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. I want you to see this. The first set of words that came out of the mouth of God. Amen. God, Elohim, and God, the self-existing one, the self-powerful one, the Almighty God, were words of blessings. God blessed them. He didn't curse them, He blessed them. God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful. Now, I want you to see what the blessing is about. Fruitfulness. Come on, say fruitfulness. Now, let me tell you the truth. I don't believe in barrenness. And nothing can justify it in my life. Why? Because I believe in the blessing. There are five key words here that reveal the blessing, that showcase the blessing. All right? Number one, fruitfulness. Number two, multiplication. Number three, replenishing. Number four, subduing. And number five, dominion. All right, and he blessed them and said unto them, this is what it means to be blessed. In case you don't know what it means to be blessed, this is what it means to be blessed. He says, be fruitful. That's what it means. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. That's what it means to be blessed. Amen. Dominion. Glory to God. That means you are in charge. Let's take it one after the other. To be fruitful simply means to produce and reproduce. To produce and reproduce. All right? You have to be seedful to be fruitful. All right? You have to be seedful to be fruitful. All right? Today is not enough to look at that word, be fruitful. It's loaded. Now, seedfulness. Look up, please. There are three dimensions of seedfulness. Number one, the spiritual dimension of seedfulness. Number two, the soulish or mental dimension of seedfulness. And number three, the physical or material dimension of seedfulness. Now, spiritual seeds are words spoken to us. All right? Anytime you hear somebody saying something, trying to communicate an idea to you, it's a spiritual seed. It's a spiritual seed. All right? The Word of God is the seed of the divine life. The Bible tells us very clearly in 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, all right, it says we were born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed of God's word, which lives and abides for how long? Forever. So the word of God is the incorruptible seed of God. And that seed carries God himself. Praise God. Now, you're listening to me speak God's word to you. I'm giving you seeds. Spiritual seeds. All right? They look intangible, so to speak. They look immaterial. That means you cannot touch them. You cannot, hold them. They are not concrete, physically speaking, but they are spiritual seeds. And everything begins with a spiritual seed. All right? You began with a spiritual seed. Your dad spoke to your mom. All right? It was an exchange of love, communication, words. All right? And then they got married and you were the result. Praise God. Words. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. It says, by Him. How many things were made? All things. All things were made by the Word, and there was nothing that was made without the Word of God. So words are spiritual seeds. Ideas are spiritual seeds. Praise God. All right. Now, we'll come to mental or solid seeds. Now, having heard the word, look up please, this is very important. You've heard the word, or somebody just communicated an idea to you through the word, all right, sharing words with you. Okay? Now, there's what is known as meditation, the place of processing the things that you have received, and you process it and process it. And when you process it and you start seeing pictures of what was said to you, all right, then you have a mental seed. A mental seed is an imagination or a concept, all right, and it's so clear that you know how to reach that goal. You know how to make it happen. It always comes with a strategy. That's a mental seed. Now, most of the time, the challenge with Christians is that they come to church, they receive spiritual seeds, but they don't do their homework in meditating on those things and then seeing how those things apply to their situations. Because in meditation is not vague. Meditation is not vain. Meditation has to do with thinking through God's word and allowing God's word go through your mind such that you now begin to see how that word applies to you as a person, applies to your situation at that moment. That's what meditation is all about. And you see, meditation always leads to action. Meditation always leads you to action. If it's just, meditation, you're meditating, the Christian meditation leads to action. If you're meditating without putting that, that which you have gotten from that meditation to action, the meditation makes you a psychologist. You just have a big head, a broad, mind, but no action, no results, no materialization of whatever it is that you've received. All right? So meditation leads to action. Why? Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 says, this book of the Lord shall not depart from man, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. Do. Praise God. So mental seeds are seeds that are brewed, all right? Seeds that are produced from meditation. You take spiritual seeds and then you ruminate on it. You chew on it. You chew on it. You chew on it until you start seeing pictures. You now know the steps to take to get out of that situation. You know how to connect the dots. That's a mental seed. Amen? Now, a physical seed is a seed of action, material seed. Amen? That means you now have a plan of action. There's something to do to get that thing that you have seen in your mind done. Praise God. Amen? And at the point of acting out what you have seen in your mind, which is the mental seed that came from the spiritual seed that God has given you, you start getting results. Now, the results you get are also physical seeds. You can also multiply them. Praise God. Okay? So to be fruitful, all right, you have to be seedful. You need to be seedful to be fruitful. All right? You must get seeds, the word. All right? And then you process the word in meditation. Now, this is how to process the word in meditation. This is very powerful. All right? Now, look up, please. Processing the word in meditation has to do with taking God's word, thinking upon the word, and then looking at prototypes around you, examples around you. Glory to God. You look at things around you, what is happening around you, the trend around you. And then while meditating on the word of God, you now begin to see the relationship between what is happening around you and what God has said to you. Sometimes the extra information you need is in books. All right? And not spiritual books. They are in books addressing nature, business, commerce. All right? How things are done in the natural realm. The moment you begin to meditate on the word of God, that seed, the spiritual seed, and then you start looking around you, you will see a connection. Now, at that point of connecting, that point of linking spiritual insight and what you see on the outside, all right, there is what is called creativity. You become innovative. All right, and one of the challenges is this with some of God's precious people is that when they receive God's word, they do not know the link between what God has said to them and what they are going through. Amen? They don't know the relationship. So, they just receive God's word. They can quote scriptures, but their needs are not met. They can do a lot of things, all right, spiritually, but there is no connection between what they know spiritually and what ought to be in the realm of the physical. Amen? And that's the problem. Praise God. Okay? But thank God the solution is here. Amen? It's here in the word. Say amen to that. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Okay? Now, for a woman, for example, let me say this, and then I go back to the heart of the message. I just went as led by the Spirit of God. For a woman, for example, your husband is complaining about, you know, the food you present before him. You know, it's too monotonous. All right? No creativity. And then you go on YouTube, you're seeing videos on how to make different, you know, meals, different dishes. Praise God. Now, you saw that video, and then you smiled and forgot about it. You didn't do anything about it. All right? Instead of looking at that video, thinking about it, and then look at the ingredients you have. Because some of those things you see on YouTube, you don't have the ingredient in your kitchen. All right? So you now look at what you have, what obtains in your own kitchen, based on your own affordability, what you can afford, what is available. You look at that, and then you've seen the video. You now start looking at, okay, what's the link? As you begin to meditate, back and forth, swinging from the video to your kitchen, from the kitchen to the video to your kitchen, from the kitchen to the video, all right? You will arrive at something. A picture will come to you in your mind that this is what you can do with the resources and create fun in your home, all right? Your husband won't complain anymore. That's how it, applies to the word of God. That's how it works with God's word. All right. If you're just meditating on the word of God and you're interested in, all right, just showing people how spiritual you are, just showing people, you know, how much of God's word you know upstairs. All right. You're not going to bless yourself. Neither are you going to bless anybody around. All right. Now you've received the word of God. You go back and forth this way. Take the word. Go look at your situation. Come back. What is the link? What is the relationship? What do I do now? Alright, what do I put in place now to change the situation? The moment that picture comes to your heart, you become innovative. That is the place of innovation. Amen? That's the place of innovation. Praise God. Now let me say this. This is very important. For anything to be created on earth, it's a mixture. It's a mixture of what comes from heaven, all right, and what is already here on earth. It's a proper blend of what is coming from heaven, revelation, light, insight, and what is already here on earth. That's the point. Now let me say this. When God was to make man, in Genesis chapter 2, if you start reading from verse 7, the Bible tells us that God formed the body of man from where? The ground. All right? He says, and God formed the man out of the dust of the ground. Oh. Now, God didn't say, man be, and his spirit and soul and body just came into existence just like that. No. God had to depend on the earth, what he had already created. And so he formed the body of man from the dust of the ground, all right? And then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So when you say man now, man standing this way, spirit, soul, and body, it is God and earth together. Your destiny will happen, God and earth together. If you are receiving inspiration and inspiration and inspiration, you don't know what is happening in your environment. You don't know what God has put on the earth already for you. There's no way you can link it. And this is the gap in the lives of a lot of Christians. Revelation, no manifestation. Revelation, a lot of revelation, but no results. Amen? Why? Because they don't understand the blend, the proper blend between inspiration, revelation, and that which God had already put upon the face of the earth. I mean, that's how it works. Amen? Now, God gives the seed. He doesn't give the soil. The soil is already on ground. But God gives the seed. Praise God. All right. I believe I'm talking to someone. I wanted to have about the Spirit of God. God gives the seed. All right. But the soil is already on ground. So without the seed, the soil cannot produce. All right. Without the soil, the seed cannot produce. So the seed needs the soil. The soil also needs the seed. The soil is earthly. The seed is divine. So what is that thing that is already on ground? It may be 5,000 naira. It may be 2,000 naira. It may be a relationship with an uncle that can recommend you, all right, to someone who can help you. It may be a network of relationships. It may be, you see, there's always something on the ground, something that God has put on ground for you. It's there. So there's the ground, and then God breathed into his nostrils. That doesn't come from the earth. That's divine. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, the living, he didn't say, and man became a living spirit. Amen. There are a lot of things we have in the spirit realm as Christians. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We see, what we want to do now is for those blessings to become living souls. Are you following what I'm saying here? So that connection is very, 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 very important. Amen. All right. Let me read you one more scripture, and then we'll get to the heart of this. Faith in the blessing. Glory to God. Mark chapter number 4 and verse 26. Mark chapter number 4 and verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into where? The ground. Cast seed into the ground. Now, no matter the idea God gives you, if it's an idea that will advance your destiny and bring about the fulfillment of God's will in your life, praise God. If it's any, it's an idea, all right, that has to do with your destiny, that has to do with the fulfillment of God's purpose and God's will for you, listen very carefully. Amen. That idea is going to come from God's Spirit through the Word, and it's going to have to need something. All right. It will have to do with something that is already on earth, that is here already. Praise God. Okay. If you want to buy a car, you may place an order for the car and say, well, I want a special car. All right. Made for me. Custom made for me. All right. The materials that we use to create the car or manufacture the car, they're already here. They're not going to come down from heaven. But the idea, the creativity, all right, will come from heaven. There are spiritual things and there are natural things. Now, for you to see the fulfillment of God's will in your life, you must learn how to marry the spiritual and the natural. If you don't know how to marry the spiritual and the natural, you have a book of prophecy that is so big, and you're just saying those things and saying those things. All right, God says, yes, they are already fulfilled. I said so. All right, I'm not against my word. But you see, wisdom is profitable to direct. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. So who gives seed? The Bible says God gives seed to the sower. Who gives seed to the sower? God. Amen? So you have to sow it. Praise the Lord. And this is the difference between true spirituality, true Christianity, and spiritism. True spiritual people are relevant to their world. If you are truly spiritual, you must be relevant to your world, to your community. You must be relevant to people. That means people need you. But people who are into spiritism, all right, they are not relevant to their world because they are just dwelling in the realm of spirit ideas, seeing visions and all that. Now, how do you translate all that to a physical thing that can bless people? Something of commercial value. Amen? I said amen. Amen. For example, the healing anointing. Amen? On Morning Dew, we've had testimonies. All right? All that grace had always been there. Yes, I'd always been there in the spirit. And the people were sick. They had their challenges there. Nobody to connect them with that grace. So an idea came. While meditating and praying, an idea came. Why not reach people 30 minutes daily? As you pray, the Spirit of God will flow through you, say words, and they will believe it, and miracles will happen. And that's it. We've had over 50 testimonies documented. Men confirmed testimonies. Glory to God. Amen. You see, that's it. That's it. Now, let me tell you something. Look up, please. This is very important. If you are praying and praying and praying and studying God's word and studying God's word and studying God's word, all right, and that's all you do, and you're not thinking about how all that would translate into blessing somebody, all right, may I say that that's wickedness. Is wickedness, because you have that much power generated praying in tongues, and you don't know how to channel. You're not even interested. That's the challenge. You're not even interested in channeling that power to meeting needs. It's wickedness. Amen. I'm more interested in, you see, that's why you see young people, you say, well, they are talking about money, they are talking about, you know, material things and all that. Now, should people be poor? All right, we have the knowledge of God's word and we are poor. Why? They don't correlate. Poverty and the knowledge of God's word, they don't go hand in hand. You can't have the word and be poor, except you don't know what to do with the word. That's the problem I'm talking about here. Praise God. So the blessing is on you. Amen. Let's get back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. Say, the blessing is on me. Oh, I can't hear you. Say, the blessing is on me. All right. Say it again. Say, the blessing is on me. All right. So where did your body come from? From heaven? No, from earth. All right. Every idea God gives you, the body will come from the earth. That's the truth. The body will come from the earth. Yes. There's something. You already have your phone. Something. You see, knowing the relevance of the earth, the things that are already on ground, the earth had been created by God. All right? If it has to appear here on earth, it is the earth that will give body to it. The seed, the idea, the inspiration, the favor, the influence of God to shape the thing on earth is going to come from heaven. It's going to come by the Holy Spirit through your spirit. All right? But what will be material that you need that will give body to that idea is already here. Some people don't even know how to manage their wives. Your wife is part of the body of that idea God has given you, and she's just there. She doesn't even know what to do with her life. Because you don't even know what to do with yours. You don't know what to do with yours either. But wisdom is coming to you now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. The TV set is there. You have the pair of shoes. You have 5,000 naira in your account or 10,000 naira. You have something. See, God is going to use that something. You see, this is a sequence in scriptures. Read through scriptures. All right? When God was to feed Elijah at the brook called Cherith, ravens were already there on the earth. He commanded them to feed him. The food was coming from somewhere. It was not falling down from heaven. They would go somewhere and bring the food to Elijah. And when the brook dried up, God commanded another widow, not an angel, to feed him. Amen? And when such things happen, when you see angels coming down, you know, appearing in the form of men to do things, it's because there's a crisis already. And God has to just intervene supernaturally. But that's not God's normal. That's not his norm. God doesn't act that way. He said, I have commanded a widow of Zarephath there to feed you. So he got there, said, fix mine first, and then thus said the Lord, the barrel will be full, it will not, the oil will not run dry. And it was so. And the widow sustained the prophet of God for many days. Praise God. Amen. You remember that widow, that the husband, the prophet, died. And she cried to Elisha, said, well, the creditors are come to take my two sons. All right. And Elisha said, what do you have in your house? All right. Many people want a living soul in their business. They want their business to be a living soul, but there's no earth. They don't want to identify with the earth. They don't believe in relationships. Because God is going to use the network of relationships you have to bless you. There are some of us that are asking for things, all right, bigger than the network of relationships that you already have. Amen. And God says, wait, you will have to build that network before I can bring it into your life. God doesn't work magic. He's a miracle worker. And every miracle has a seed. There's a seed. See? So, the blessing is on you. You see, the moment you believe that the blessing... let me tell you, don't try to... invoke the blessing on yourself. The blessing is already on you. Hello, you are blessed. Settle that. The blessing is upon you. Is that okay? Now, the moment you believe that and you're praying, see, when you pray, be business minded in your prayer. You know, people say prayer is fellowship with God. Is there any fellowship with God that is vain? Fellowship is always a transaction, isn't it? I'm giving something, you're receiving something. You're giving something, I'm receiving that same thing. Praise God. Is that not fellowship? So that means fellowship is exchange of virtue, exchange of value, exchange of ideas. It brings about intimacy. I know who you are, you know who I am, all right? And then we can exchange values. I know I perceive you correctly, you perceive me correctly. In prayer, when you intercede or pray, open your spirit for ideas, to receive ideas from God, seeds, inspiration. Now, any idea you receive, don't think that idea is just going to work because God gave it to you. All right? It's still a spiritual idea. You will process it to make it a mental or, you know, soulish idea in that sense. All right? Idea that is in the realm of the soul. That's what I mean by soulish. Is that okay? And then you start saying what to do. What to do. What to do. Glory to God. What to do. How many of us have been blessed? Okay? What to do. Now, let me show you this again in John, Gospel according to St. John chapter 2. I want to show you something here. In John chapter 2, we started reading from verse 1. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Verse 2. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Verse 3. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Now listen very carefully. Does Jesus produce wine? Does he sell wine? No, talk to me. Does he sell wine? But you see, the mother of Jesus knows that Jesus has the capital to produce it. Now, the capital to produce, all right, is always from above. Amen? That's the capital. Now, Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Sometimes, you see, if you don't differentiate between the capital and resources, all right, you see, capital is an idea, is a concept, is an inspiration. It's a system of favor, is an empowerment that comes on you to locate or recognize resources. And that's why I say, look, you can put 1 billion naira in the hand of a fool. All right? That doesn't make him rich. And give a wise man 500,000 naira, he can become a billionaire. So, what's the capital now? Is it money? Is money the capital? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because some of us have enough resources, in fact, more than enough resources to become wealthy. But you see, the initiative is not there. That's the thing. And some of us have the initiative and we don't even know the link between the initiative and the resources. What do you do with what you have to get to where God is taking you? That's the point. So Jesus doesn't produce wine. Jesus doesn't sell wine. But the mother of Jesus knew who Jesus was. He's my son. You know, he's in charge of capital. Divine capital. He knows what to do with what is available to bring the wine. Amen. Okay. So his mother said unto her. All right. His mother said unto the. Okay. Rather, his mother. Go back to verse 4, please. John chapter 2 and verse 4. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. In other words, look up, please. If you act just because you have resources, you will waste them. There must be an initiative from heaven first. All right? Because you see, the breath of God was already there in his nostrils. In his own nostrils. That breath was there. Okay? So he formed man. Because see, if you form the body and there is no initiative to give life to it, it just lie prostrate on the ground. Nothing will happen. Amen? So before you act, let your hour come. What that means is this, hear from God. That's why when you're praying, not because you well, I have 10,000, how do I invest it? Bam, you went, bam, bam, just throw the money around. No, pray. Let God give you an inspiration. Now when God is talking to you, all right, look up please. Begin to analyze in your heart, by the help of the Holy Spirit, the effects, possibilities, implications of the Word of God to you. That God will not do for you. Because He already gives you. Because sometimes God will look and say, I give you a mind. I use mine. Use your own too. Use your mind. Does God renew your mind for you? No, you do your own renewing yourself. He will give you the resources, will give you the initiative. You have to use your mind. You have to think. Now, God said this year is this for me. Is this? What's the implication to my family? What does this mean? So what am I supposed to be doing now? What are the resources around me that God has located within my reach? What are the relationships that I have? All right? And as you begin to meditate on that, you will see the link. That is the point of innovation and creativity. You see, people, have you noticed that even rich people complain? that they don't have enough. Poor people complain. Some of them complain that they don't have enough. So what's the problem? You see someone who can afford 3 square meters, he's still complaining. Hey man, what is the challenge? So Jesus said, my hour had not yet come. Verse 5. His mother said unto the servant, whatsoever he said unto you, go ahead and do it. Oh, look at it. Now, it was not Jesus that said to the servants at the party, whatever I say to you, do. The mother was intercessor, the go-between, between Jesus and the people at the party. And went to Jesus and said, they have no wine. What will I have to do with you, woman? My hour had not yet come. And then she went. She knew his hour would come. Now, let me tell you something. There are certain things you must know about God, that God is love. Let me tell you something. If you're suffering anything in your life right now, all right, God is suffering that thing with you. Because God is love. And if you go to God in prayer, some of us, the way we pray is like we are more concerned about our needs than God is concerned. So the way you pray, God himself says, what is it? Yes, there's fervency in prayer, yes. All right, all that is good. But you see, listen very carefully. God is more interested in your well-being than you are interested in it. God loves you more than you love yourself. When Jesus said, look, woman, what do I have to do? My hour had not yet come. Listen, the woman didn't get offended. Still went to put things in place. Look, he will still speak. All right, look at that man. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. So she had prepared the ground. Then his hour came. There was a divine initiative from heaven. Look at verse 6. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone. Okay, verse 5. Let's look at verse 5. Have you read verse 5? Okay, yeah, thank you. Verse 6, thank you. All right. Then there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And verse 7, Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. He said unto them. So where did they get the water? Did the water come from heaven? You can see. But what to do came from heaven. Fill the water pot with water. Okay? The water pots were ready here. All right? And then the water on earth. So fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up. All right? And he saith unto them, draw out now. Draw out now. All right? And bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. He didn't know where that wine came from. All right, the wine came from water. Water. Miracles happen from natural things. Wow. Yes. A miracle can be wrought from 5,000 naira, from a pair of shoes, from, you know, a cup of flour and granite oil with sugar. A miracle can be wrought from it. That's the point. So you'll be thinking that manna will fall down from heaven. God says, no, wake up, smell the coffee. I will give you the manna in idea. All right? And then you mix it with what is already on ground. And then you start producing bread. Did you see that? This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth what? His glory. And his disciples believed on him. Glory to God. So I'm going to stop here. I want us to pray. Amen. Please, let me tell you something. You have to learn to use your mind and meditate. That's the missing link. A lot of us have two. Your book of prophecy is full.
is full. I mean, powerful things. But what is the connection between what God told you and the physical manifestation of it? All right? What's the connection? You remember the miracle that was wrought at Jordan? All right? The people wanted to expand, the sons of the prophet wanted to expand their abode. And they said, look, let's go to Jordan and fell trees. All right? They borrowed an axe head. And it fell into Jordan River. Thank God Elisha was there with them. He said, where did he fall? He said, this particular place. And then he knew what initiative. He knew what to do. He cut a wood, put it there, and the axe head floated. The wood sank. That's a miracle, right? Uh-huh. Yeah, he is the wood. At Mara, God revealed a tree to Moses. He cast the tree into the bitter waters of Mara, and the bitterness was cured. Amen? I said amen. The initiative comes from heaven, but you have to do something. That's the link, because God cannot lie. If God has spoken to you, it is so. All right? So that thing in your mind that is not opening to God, all right, and it now seems like God told you a lie, that thing is what we're dealing with today in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, I wanted to go the way of faith in the blessing, but the Lord wouldn't let me. So I'll do that later. Praise God. And I want us to pray right now. Listen, when you're praying in church, all is just praying and be praying, and you just be praying. You just be praying. Don't pray that way anymore. Pray with your mind open to God. Open your mind, and as you pray, you see, listen, you're done praying. Look around. All right? Go back to that problem. Look at it. Is it really a problem? You might just see it differently. The blessing is working right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blessing is working. The blessing is working. The blessing is working. Minds are open right now in the name of Jesus Christ. That thing you read in a book some years ago, last month, last week, is coming back to your mind. Now God is teaching you to connect the dots. Ke gruta bakati labrina gatola. Rantokosa. Open your mind. Open your spirit. As we pray right now, see vision. See things in your mind. See what God is showing you right now. I want you to engage your mind. See the goodness of God. See the loving kindness of God. See His almightiness. See His almightiness. He loves you more than you love yourself. Things are opening up right now. Yes, you see the earth. You see the earth you need. To bring that thing into, that divine initiative into, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the resources now. You see, in the name of Jesus. Divine initiative is coming to you. It's coming to you with light. Your mind is opened in the name of Jesus. We come against everything that has been working against your mind. Every siege around your mind will break it in the name of Jesus. See possibilities. See solutions. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Christianity from henceforth is practical and practicable. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, needs are met. Needs are met. No more disparity between spirituality and the manifestation of the blessings of God on your life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. You are blessed. In the name of Jesus Christ. The blessing is working for you. All right, now hear this. There will be nothing less than 500 people that will share testimonies of increase by reason of this message. Nothing less than 500. Hallelujah. Now people will be so blessed that I didn't know. I thought God lied to me. I've just been this prophecy. It's just too big. And I didn't even know how to connect it. All right. More than 500 persons. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe you've been blessed. Glory.